This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Tuesday, March 25th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Dems target GOP on SNAP. Farm groups want 199A permanent. And SCOTUS weighs SRE case. House Dems to highlight SNAP cuts at separate hearing. House and Senate Republicans are still struggling to reach agreement on their tax and spending plans. In the meantime, House Democrats will hold an informal hearing today to highlight the possible GOP cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. The House passed budget resolution would require $230 billion in SNAP cuts over 10 years. House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries of New York, Democratic Whip Catherine Clark of Massachusetts, and House Ag Committee Ranking Member Angie Craig of Minnesota will all participate in the event. Now take note, House GOP leaders issued a joint statement yesterday calling on Senate Republicans to take up the House-passed budget resolution. The Senate-passed resolution would require only minimal spending cuts and leaves tax issues to later. Farm groups appeal for 199A permanency. A broad coalition of farm groups is urging Congress to make permanent the 20% pass-through business income deduction created by the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. The Section 199A deduction is one of several TCJA provisions that is set to expire at the end of the year. Section 199A has been essential in keeping co-ops and their farmer members competitive with corporations that benefited from the permanently reduced corporate tax rate in the 2017 Act, the farm groups say in a letter to congressional leaders. The deduction has been, quote, instrumental in helping producers navigate unprecedented challenges, including a pandemic, global instability, prolonged periods of low commodity prices, and the highest inflation in a generation, the letter says. Trump revises April 2nd tariff plans. President Donald Trump is threatening China, India, and other countries that buy Venezuelan oil and gas with new 25% tariffs that would start April 2nd. His comments come amid reporting that the administration is considering narrowing the focus of reciprocal tariffs, also slated to kick in the same day. Why it matters? Well, China and the European Union have already adopted or announced retaliatory tariffs against U.S. ag exports over duties imposed by the Trump administration. Further tariff hikes are to provoke additional countermeasures, but it may not come to that. Even China, Venezuela's top buyer, only needed the country for a fraction of its total oil imports. So countries may pivot to alternate suppliers. Take note, other parts of the April 2nd actions could be narrower than anticipated. Bloomberg reported over the weekend that sector-specific tariffs may not materialize then. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent also suggested last week that initial reciprocal tariffs could focus on 15 countries with persistent trade deficits with the U.S. I may give a lot of countries breaks, Trump said when asked about the tariffs yesterday. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. Daybreak is sponsored by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the third largest dairy co-op in the country. Edge is a powerful advocate in Washington for farmers throughout the upper Midwest. Dairy has reached a crossroads. The time for change is now. As more milk is moving outside the federal milk marketing order system, we need to ensure basic protections remain in place for the farmer, such as timely payments and third-party verification. Edge says it's time to provide these protections to all dairy farmers. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Lawmakers float coal storage development to spur U.S. exports. Bipartisan legislation is being introduced in the House and the Senate to allow USDA to help develop coal storage and other infrastructure in new and developing markets. Iowa Republican Representative Randy Feenstra is introducing the House bill today with Representatives Jim Costa of California, Tracy Mann of Kansas, and Salud Carbajal of California. Senators Jim Banks of Indiana and John Fetterman of Pennsylvania are introducing the Senate version. Feenstra argues that U.S. exporters of meat and other perishable products face trade barriers stemming from a lack of refrigeration infrastructure. The bill has the backing of the Global Cold Chain Alliance, a trade group representing temperature-controlled warehousing and logistics service. SCOTUS to hear SRE venue case. The Supreme Court will hear oral arguments today on the appropriate venue for reviewing EPA decisions on small refinery hardship exemptions. The petition, filed by the EPA, asks whether the D.C. Circuit Court should be the only venue for reviewing exemptions from blending requirements in the Renewable Fuel Standard. The Trump administration had previously asked the court to pause the lawsuit so it can reassess the soundness of the underlying denials. However, that pause was denied. Also at SCOTUS, the Supreme Court tomorrow will hear oral arguments over a case that will decide the constitutionality of the Federal Communication Commission's Universal Service Fund, which supports programs that defray the cost of phone and internet access across rural areas. Researchers find less encouraging progress in industry sodium reductions. Researchers say FDA's Phase 1 voluntary sodium reduction targets were less effective than previously thought. Last year, the FDA released a preliminary progress report on the effectiveness of the voluntary reductions. The agency said sodium content fell in 52% of food categories, but it did not specify how much. Now, a recent study has found that the median change across all food categories was -3% overall. In 11 food categories, largely those sold in restaurants, sodium increased by 25% or more. Only 7 food categories showed sodium levels that had fallen by that amount. Researchers suggest FDA set more aggressive targets for the Phase 2 reductions and more transparently monitor industry progress. The research was done by the Kaiser Permanente Board, J. Tyson School of Medicine, the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, and Center for Science in the Public Interest. Results were published in the JAMA Viewpoint. Corporate sponsors sought for White House Easter egg roll. The White House is seeking corporate sponsorships to pay for the annual Easter egg roll, the first for the 147-year tradition. A Washington event management firm, Harbinger, outlined the sponsorship opportunities in a booklet. Platinum sponsorships go for $200,000, gold sponsorships priced at $125,000, and silver at $75,000. Branding, brunch tickets, and exclusive access opportunities on site are among the benefits, as well as ticket packages. Harbinger did not respond to a request for comment on whether it had received any sponsorship offers. By the numbers, $36.1 trillion. That's the debt ceiling, which was reinstated in January. The Bipartisan Policy Center predicts the U.S. is likely to default between mid-July and early October if Congress doesn't act. It is the first public prediction for the X date since the Treasury Department began deploying extraordinary measures to free up room under the ceiling. You may not want to miss this. Our AgriPulse open mic interview with BPC budget guru Bill Hoagland. It's available now at agripulse.com. Here's today's final word. While we concur with the overall goal, what is beyond dispute is that this goal is a massive undertaking that will require an extraordinarily long runway in order to achieve it. That Mike Steenhoek, executive director of the Soy Transportation Coalition, on the Trump administration's proposals to spur domestic shipbuilding and reduce China's dominance in global shipping. Well, that's Daybreak for this Tuesday, March 25th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Nally.